Why are you catering to a man's needs that you hardly know the same way my sister caters to her children? Stop thinking that you can change him. Did he shit his pants or something? Are you going to wipe his ass for him too? No, you will not, because you are not his mother. Let someone else change those poopy diapers. If you are so desperate to clean someone's feces, then you can just go to Taco Bell's bathroom and it will satisfy your cravings, all right?
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting. Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Привет. Welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting, your number one destination for personal growth, dating, and mental health infused with psychology, expert studies, and scientific research. I am Violeta, your big Russian sister, ready to dish out that tough love. And together, we're basically going to explore a new topic every single month that hopefully will help us evolve into better versions of ourselves. Okay, so we are in the month of May. So May is all about mental health. But today, I wanted to focus mental health around dating. And I just wanted to share with you the best dating advice I can give you. So there's just going to be numerous types of dating advice. And hopefully you can take out your notepad. You can start writing this down. You can download today's episode. Save it. So you can always go back to these little amazing fun snippets. But the dating advice literally starts from the beginning all the way to the end of the episode. Just nonstop dating advice. And it's good. So you better listen up. And secondly, if you can please, before you start listening to today's episode, write me a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. I read all the reviews. They're super helpful for my podcast. They help me tremendously. So if you can do me that one little favor, and if you maybe want to take a screenshot of your review that you wrote for me on the Apple Podcast app, then I will Venmo you $5 as a thank you. Okay? And yeah, feel free to DM it to me to Violet Benson Instagram and I will Venmo you $5. Right. So before we dive into one of the best dating episodes you'll ever hear, not even joking, it's basically a curated some of my best favorite dating advice I've ever given you all into this one episode. And yeah, you're definitely going to be dating differently after you listen to it. But first, I am also trying to do different segments in my episodes. And I thought, moving forward, I'm going to always have 3 segments. Today, we only have 2. The 2 segments we'll have today is just a quick little short story that I share of my life, something that happened, and then we move into the full-on episode. The quick little segment is just basically on Tuesday, I shared my whole stagecoach experience with Patron. It was amazing. But one thing I left out of what happened at the end, which was me crying at stagecoach. So I wanted to share why I cried at stagecoach before we dive into the best dating advice you'll ever hear. When I was in the day party, I took shrooms because I had some leftover shrooms. It was the 3rd day of the festival and I was planning on leaving. But I randomly found some shrooms as I was packing and there were leftover shrooms and chocolate shrooms. And I wasn't sure if they're good or not since apparently they can kind of expire the longer they just go sitting around your house. It may not be as strong. So I had them since I think June or July. So I just took one square. And yeah, that's when I kind of got in my head about Lana Del Rey. I wasn't sure if she liked me or not because I asked for a picture because of the shrooms. But then when I packed my bags and I was leaving, I felt weird saying goodbye. I don't know if you guys are that way as well, but I really don't like to say goodbye to people. I don't know what it is. As much as I say I don't have anxiety, I feel that it gives me some type of anxiety where I'd rather just leave Irish or do Irish goodbyes than hug people and say goodbye. It just makes me too sad. But unfortunately, I saw some people and I said goodbye. And one girl looked like she was going to cry. I was going to as well. That's how I knew my shrooms were working. I get in my car, to go home. And I kid you not, I start crying from happiness. And I know it's not funny. It's sweet. But obviously, it was my shrooms. But in that moment, I felt so much happiness. And if anyone's listened to some of my past Tuesday episodes last year, this brand trip that I had, which was staying with a bunch of people in a house, in Saint-Tropez. Not only did we get robbed, but I didn't have the best experience. And not only that, but I tried to make the most out of that experience. And even when I did the episode about it, I never once in any way victimized myself or said, you know, if the girls didn't want to hang out with me or like me, I never said, oh, it's their fault. I said they were having their own experience. I understand, it has nothing to do with me. They wanted to just do their own thing. And I get it, because, you know, people want to make the most out of their free time. And I can't expect everyone to like me or to want me to be a part of their group. And I tried to be as understanding as possible, even though a lot of you told me those girls were kind of bitches to you. I wanted to take the high road. And I try to believe that. I never want to be a victim. I never want to act like one. No one ever feels sorry for me. And then in the end, I don't allow myself to feel the sadness or to allow my inner child to feel sorry for myself and alone. And I didn't allow myself to have that. So I think after such a bonding trip where we all got along, even and I went by myself and people made me feel like I can be myself. Sometimes I forget how important that is. Not just to me. I think it's something that it's important to all of us. We all want to fit in. We all want to feel like it's okay to be ourselves. Like we don't have to pretend to be someone else. And that's why it's so funny that you tend to see people judge others for their flaws, for their weaknesses, for their feelings. And yet we expect others to accept us. I think that's where my emotions were coming, but it was the first time that I cried about Saint-Tropez and how I was treated in that house and how misunderstood I felt and how beautiful it was to feel so understood, whether it was my jokes, my need for privacy, just being quirky or laughing around, all of that. It just made my heart so warm and sweet, and that's why I was crying. And then I send a text to the group chat and I was like, hey guys, I just want to let you know it meant the world to me. Thank you so much for making me feel like a part of the crew, especially because I came by myself and I never felt like I was there by myself because you guys made me feel so loved and so understood. Thank you for letting me be myself. You guys are such an amazing crew. I hope you have the best night ever. And I really hope we will see each other again soon, something like that. And then I just kept crying. And of course, it's so embarrassing when you're crying in a car with someone else and you're just trying not to cry too loud. And you're like, like that, you know, but then also you don't want them to think you're sick because of COVID and all that. But it was hilarious. A few days later, when I wasn't on shrooms, I remembered me bawling in the car. And I was like, well, that was embarrassing. Okay, so let's get started with the best dating advice you will ever hear. Part one. Oh, you're gonna die at this one, okay, babe? He keeps coming back because he wants to see if you're still stupid. Men will go as far as you let them. Men do not leave women. It's women who leave men for good. Remember that. A man will keep coming back as long as you keep leaving the door ajar. It's not because he loves you, but because you're convenient. And that pussy is available. So the next time he comes back, make sure that door is locked and that chastity belt, okay? Let's go. Next one. Stop giving him the girlfriend treatment without the title. Stop listening to empty words and instead, you gotta pay attention to action. Look back to the beginning. Does he keep his word? Does he call when he tells you he's going to call? Does he plan future dates and so on? Now, here's the thing. Everything in life that's too available, we take for granted, men or women. So if you want anyone in your life to view you as something valuable, then you need to limit their access to you, especially in the beginning. Have your own life, focus on your hobbies, don't cancel plans for him. Let him come to you while you sit back and you enjoy your life. When you value your time by limiting who you waste it on, others begin to value it too. It's so annoying. I was just complaining this to my mother. I started dating again, kind of. Like I started talking, entertaining people, not even fully going on dates. And it always feels like the ones who like you, you don't like them back. And then the one person you're finally interested in, they just don't really give you the time of day. And it's so frustrating because obviously I've done enough of these advices and enough of these episodes where I have to be a woman of my word. And I have to practice what I preach. So it sucks when you know you like someone, but when you watch their actions, they're not matching their words, you know, there's nothing you can do. Like all I can do is take a step back, which sucks because obviously there's this guy that I liked and I wanted to be like, hello, please just get to know me. Like, why don't you love me? I promise you, if you just got to know me, if you just found these things out about me, I'm sure you would like me. Just give me a chance to have a conversation with me. But then if you do that with someone, if you in the beginning are already chasing the guy, you are setting how the relationship will look like in the future. If in the beginning, the man already cannot pursue you, it's only going to get worse down the line. The beginning is normally when they're giving you all the attention. If in the beginning, you have to beg them to call you or keep their word, it's kind of already telling you how they feel about you, which isn't that much at all. So again, pay attention to actions, not words. They are not pretending to not like you. They are not playing games. They're just not that into you. And this is a universal experience, meaning that your situation is not special or unique where this advice doesn't apply to because for whatever reason, that same guy, he just like super busy, blah, blah, blah. This the same way applies to me as well. The only guy that I finally had eyes on, it's not that he was too busy for me. It's not that he was too intimidated by me or he just liked me so much. He had to wait 2 to 3 days to text me back because he just kept trying to figure out what to send in the text to me. And then in the end, it would just be like, haha, yeah. It was because he just doesn't like me. So yeah, it's hard to listen to my own advice as well. But now as a grown up, as I've gotten older, I know better. Do I value myself so little that the minute I like someone and they don't like me back, I have to prove something to them? Like as if I'm not worth a phone call, I'm not worth just a FaceTime, I'm not worth someone making plans with. Someone actually asking me questions about myself, someone actually trying to learn about me and my life, as in literally the bare minimum when you're trying to get to know someone. And for whatever reason, I think that I need to chase that person to see my value. Come on, don't be that way either. The way it starts is a good indicator of how it will proceed. If he can't even commit to a date, how is he ever going to commit to you? People are usually on their best behavior in the beginning. So if already in the beginning, there's a lack of reciprocation and interest, then that should tell you where it's going, which is nowhere. Damn, sometimes I don't realize how harsh my advice is. But I love that I'm consistent because I literally just said that advice and then I see it also in my group chat. Okay, so here's a question that I get the most often and here's your answer for it. Why do men pull away? Well, there's plenty of reasons why they pull away, but from the book, Why Men Don't Love Women Like You by G.L. Lambert, who's a male author and a dating expert, men pull away from women because they sense the woman is more invested in the relationship than they are. That's most of the time, not always, but this is usually the case. This can happen for a variety of reasons. Maybe the woman is too eager, she's too needy, she's too clingy. Maybe they can sense that the woman is too invested in the relationship too soon, more than they are. When a man feels like he's being suffocated by a woman's expectations, he will start to pull away. Men often do this in the beginning of the relationship to test the waters. Ooh. The best thing that you can do in this case is not to chase him. Do not text him, do not call him, but instead give him space and allow him to come back to you if you guys are a match. In the end of the day, if someone's not ready for a relationship, it doesn't matter how amazing you are. It doesn't matter how fertile you are. It doesn't matter that you are a chef or that you look like a Victoria's Secret model and you can do magic tricks and you have a dragon in your backyard. It doesn't matter. They will still not date you because they're not ready. And if you think that your best answer, your best thing that you should do is to stand by and just wait around until this dude will finally just wake up one day and realize what he has right in front of him, what a blessing you are, that he needs to make you his right now, then baby girl, you are more delusional than that dude that's in your DMs that's been fighting for his life the last 5 years hoping that you will notice him. Because you and that guy are giving off the same vibes. It's giving desperate. It's giving delusional. It's giving you are wasting your time. You want to get that man's attention? You want him to realize how amazing you truly are? Then leave. How can he miss you if you're always there? Will he come back running back to you if he genuinely is not ready just because you left? No. Have you not been listening to everything I just said? It's about you leaving to get back into your own life, to focus on yourself. And then when he is ready, whether it's because he realized that he missed you or he just turned 52 and he feels like maybe finally the timing feels right for him, because you're not in front of him, drooling at the mouth, waiting for him to pick you, to choose you, then I promise you, then he will come back your way and he will choose you. That is, if by then you even want him. So sometimes you have to understand that sometimes when someone quote unquote is not choosing you, it's not because it's you. It means they're not going to choose anyone else. If a man has, or woman, if they have commitment issues and they showcase that with you, that's not changing a month later. So if there was someone new, that means that person accepted less than what you were willing to accept. And that's why they're with that person now. Okay?
Do you have trouble turning off your brain, much less falling asleep? Maybe you lay in bed replaying the day over and over and over again when all you want to do is relax. If so, you are not alone. And before you pay for some sleep app, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite podcasts. It's the wonderful podcast called Soothing Sleep. You basically get two great things in one podcast. It takes you on an immersive journey full of visualizations, and it includes a special breathing technique to help you relax and get comfortable. Journeys include a cozy train ride, a stroll through Smithsonian, tours of European cities, scenic rainforest hikes, luxury cruises, a visit to outer space, and so much more, except your ex's house. We don't go there. There's no hassle of downloading and paying for a new app. It's available for free wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes release every Tuesday, wherever you listen to podcasts. All you have to do is search for Soothing Sleep Podcast. Again, that is Soothing Sleep, SOOTHING SLEEP. So let's ease you out of your head and into your dreams.
Stop being the nice girl. What does that mean? Well, if you're putting aside your needs and your wants and your self-care for a man, it's going to turn him off, especially in the beginning of dating. Cannot emphasize that enough. When he hasn't earned it, aka you've been a one day, two, three, four, whatever, and you're not allowing him to pursue you on his terms because you're a nice girl, you give too much, that act comes off as you chasing him by overly accommodating a man that you just met. Us women, we love to be feminine. We love to sacrifice ourselves for the happiness of others, hence our motherly instincts kick in. But this man is not your son, okay? And no man wants to fuck their mother. This ain't no Alabama. Just kidding. Then why are you catering to a man's needs that you hardly know? The same way my sister caters to her children. Stop thinking that you can change him. Did he shit his pants or something? Do you have some extra diaper to give to him? Are you going to wipe his ass for him too? No, you will not, because you are not his mother. Let someone else change those poopy diapers. If you are so desperate to clean someone's feces, then you can just go to Taco Bell's bathroom and it will satisfy your cravings, all right? Look, at the end of the day, when it comes to relationships, relationships take work. Even in the beginning, but it takes two people to want to make it work. It can't just be one person doing all the labor. It just won't work in the long run. If you are dating someone where you feel that if you stop contacting him, then that would be the end of your relationship, then maybe it's time to open your eyes. The reason fairy tales seem so amazing growing up is not because relationships are meant to always be easy. It's because the fairy tales actually end when the relationship starts, right? When the prince gets the princess or the woman, and they kiss or they move in together, whatever it is in the fairy tale, the movie ends. So we don't actually get to see what happens afterwards when the relationship starts, when the hard work starts. And when two people like each other, it won't feel like hard work, but they will still put in the time. So both people have to want to show up. Both people have to continue to be curious about their partner. Both people have to want to continue to grow together, not apart. So just because you love someone, it doesn't mean that they're the right person. How can you really, truly believe that the person that doesn't want to be with you, that the person that's giving you the bare minimum, that the person that makes you feel like you are not enough in any way is your person? The right person, your person, is going to be the person that, drumroll, feels the same way about you, the way that you feel about them. It's a no-brainer, and yet, for whatever reason, we seem to completely dismiss this one important detail. The right person is someone who actually wants to be there in the relationship with you. But hey, it's okay. Cheer up, Buttercup, because if you are currently sad over some guy, you just have to remember that a year from now, you will probably be sad over a different guy. So there's that. I'm just kidding. Okay, so if you go on a date or you start dating someone, beginning of dating, and they say the following three things, then you need to run, okay? If they say from the beginning, I'm just not looking for anything serious, babe, it's not an invitation for you to change their minds. Run. They're being serious. And what it means is, even if I'm going to treat you like you're my partner, I can change my mind anytime, any second. If I meet someone else that I'm more interested in, I will jump ship. If I take you on vacation and choose you to my parents, it doesn't mean anything, because at any point I can back away. And if you're upset, I will tell you, hey, I told you in the beginning, I'm not looking for anything serious. Number two, if they say, you deserve better than me. Babes, that is not an invitation for you to prove to them that they are good enough, that they do deserve you, or for you to try to change them, to lift them up, to heal them. Are you Mother Teresa? Like, do you not have a job? Like, do you need another job? Like, go volunteer at the puppy shelter. You deserve better than me. You know what that means? It means that I know I'm not treating you well. I know I can do better. But just because I know it, I'm letting you know right now, I'm not planning on changing that. That's why I'm telling you, you deserve better. Because I ain't no way am planning on actually stepping it up and giving you what you deserve. That's what they really mean. When you stay with someone that feels like you deserve better, it will only knock you down. And not all of them are evil and they're messing with you or narcissistic or whatever. Some people really do have internal issues that they need to work on. And it doesn't matter how amazing you are, they will never feel good enough for you. And there's nothing you can do about it, because it's not up to you to fix it. Only they can fix it, because only they can work on themselves to feel good enough to have someone love them. When someone doesn't know what love is, they will not be able to be in healthy relationships. And again, I'm saying this and I can just hear you on the other end being like, oh, that's the guy I'm with. Oh, poor guy. I just want to hold him. He does not need to be held. He needs therapy, okay? Give him a number to a good therapist. That's what he needs. And it doesn't matter if people are aware that they have issues or they're aware that they don't deserve love, whatever it is. Being aware is completely different than actually taking a step to fix it, to work on themselves. There is a whole saying, and the saying goes, we fall in love with people based on how we see ourselves through their eyes. Which means if I'm dating someone and I feel like I'm not good enough for them, that means through their eyes, I see myself as beneath them, as someone not good enough, which means I will never be able to fall in love with them because I will always feel not enough. So don't feel sorry for whoever you're with who tells you you deserve better or they feel like they're not good enough and all that. It also means that as long as they do not work on themselves, they will never be able, A, to accept your love, B, to love you back, and they will always see knock you down with them. I remember one time I was dating a guy. We had such a wonderful night. And then out of nowhere, he was kind of intoxicated. We come back to my house and he started to freak out. And he started telling me, like, you make me feel so bad about myself all the time. And I could not understand what I even did because I was so confused because I liked him so much. And I said, "What? Please tell me, like, what am I doing?" And it was so draining to date this man. And he said, you have this big house. And I don't own a house and I'm just renting and I have roommates. You just have everything. And I don't have that. And when he said stuff like that, I was like, that's not even something I can even actually fix or adjust. It's not how I'm treating him. It's literally just what I've achieved in life. And that makes him feel not good enough for me. So that means there's nothing I can do until he decides to, you know, work harder. What am I supposed to do about that? And when he said that, that's when it dawned on me. Oh, I can fall in love with him, but he will never fall in love with me. Because when he sees himself through my eyes, he feels like he's not enough. So I let him go. And he found someone that's better suited for him. And I'm so glad with that because all it did for me being with him, it drowned me in his emotions. And even when we ended things, when I ended things with him, I was depressed for a while. I was so low. And it wasn't because I missed him, but it was because I took on so much of his negative energy that it got to the point that I was drowning because I constantly tried to fix him so much that I forgot to fix myself. And I forgot to check in with myself and I forgot to take care of myself. And that's why it's so important for you guys to remember that it's really nice when you are out there saving the world, saving other people, caring about everyone else's feelings. But sometimes it's okay to take a step back and check in with yourself. Like my mom always said, you cannot be everything for everyone and nothing to yourself. And if you don't take moments to take care of yourself, in the end, your mental health will affect your body physically. We forget about that. We were like, why am I so sick? Or my joints hurt and all that. It's because it also has to do with your emotional health. If you don't take care of your emotional health, it will begin to deteriorate your physical health. And when you don't take breaks for yourself, your body will take those breaks for you and it will always be in the most inconvenient times. So that's not fun, right? Anyway, the third, last one, that if someone says this on your first few dates, then you should run. And this one's the most obvious one. All my exes are crazy. Or all my exes are a narcissist. Run. Why? Because when someone tells you that, then maybe you need to ask them, oh, okay, all of your exes are crazy. That's so crazy. Now, why don't you tell me what you did to make them that way? Are they crazy? Or did you just not like their reaction to you crossing their boundaries? Run. Okay? And then one of my most favorite quotes right now was this hilarious British woman. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but...
So before you start gossiping about me, love, scratch your minge, sniff your fingers, because you have got bigger fish to fry.
So before you start gossiping about me, love, scratch your minge, sniff your fingers, because you have got bigger fish to fry. I mean, that one, imagine just saying that to someone. I mean, when I listened to this, my jaw dropped. She's right. Look, at the end of the day, you just got to remember, your perfect person is out there. They're currently giving fellatio to someone else. But when they're done doing that, they wipe their mouth. They will be on their way to you. Your person is out there. They're just busy being on their knees right now. But they will snap out of it. And they will come find you, okay? Anyway, I think I've seen this other amazing advice before, which has to do with when we are so desperate to be loved, that's normally when we shouldn't go out there seeking love. Because it's kind of the same way when you are so hungry and you wait till you're super hungry. And once you're super hungry, you order Postmates or you go to the grocery store. That's usually the worst time when you should be doing that. Why? Because you're starving and you will basically take anything and everything and you will accept anything because you're just hungry and you just want to eat. It's the same thing when you're so desperate to be loved. You will end up accepting anything And eventually, when you come to your senses, you'll be like, oh my God, why am I dating a person that treats me so shitty because I'm so desperate for even an ounce of love? That's why it's important when you're going out there, back into the dating field, to accept the fact that you are going to come across some failures. The first person you match with or fall in love with may not be the right person for you. I struggle with that stuff as well. It's so hard for me to like someone. And once I like someone, I'm tunnel vision. And there's nothing more disappointing when the person you have tunnel vision on does not feel the same way about you. But I much rather accept defeat faster than to stick around and get knocked down over and over again and think that there's something wrong with me versus just understanding that people don't have to like you back. People are allowed to change their minds at any second. You're not everyone's match. People are going through their own thing. And I just always tell myself it has nothing to do with me. Oh, okay, so you're gay. Oh, you don't like me? Then you're gay. Okay. No, but usually I'm just like, okay, he's probably not over his ex. He has other stuff going on, has nothing to do with me. And then I always tell myself, he is going to come back, obviously. And by then, I won't like him. Anyway, you guys, this month's topic is all about mental health. Obviously, today was more of a dating episode. And look, at the end of the day, whether we want to deny it or not, dating really does affect our moods. When we're in love, we're so elevated. We look our best usually. We're losing weight. We are in the clouds and nothing in life seems that much of a big deal because we're in love. It's the best feeling in the world. And then when we're not in love or when we're confused or we're left on red or whatever it is, all of our worst traits that we don't like about ourselves end up coming out. And that is part of dating. We don't realize that. We think, oh, I'm such a terrible person, or I have attachment issues, or I'm emotionally unavailable, or I'm too anxious, or I'm too needy. But no, that is part of dating. People bring out different sides of us and we're meant to learn from it. That's where we're meant to see who's right for us, who's not. We think that if we can't figure out how to make it work with someone, then it means that we failed. No, the whole point of dating is to keep dating people until you find the right partner. So you will continue, quote unquote, to fail, if that's how you want to consider it, until you find the proper match. Wouldn't you rather be with someone that wants to be there as well than to put in all this work with someone that's not right for you just because you don't want to fail? Don't you want to be happy? Trust me, I sometimes have these thoughts like, you know what, maybe I should just settle or I'll just go for a rich guy. But my mom always told me, you marry a man for his money and you will pay for it for the rest of your life. And the last advice I will leave you with is this. When a man is not putting in all of his effort into you, then give him nothing. And just when you think you're giving him nothing, give him even nothinger. Okay? That's how you teach a man a lesson, because men do not learn with words. They learn with silence. You're welcome. Anyway, you guys, I hope you take from this advice. I hope you find love. And if you're not finding love today, then I hope you still every single day remember to find love within yourself. That is the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get more of these episodes, whether it's ad-free or more extra episodes, including my dating university, then feel free to subscribe to my Almost Adulting premium podcast. You can find it on almostadulting.supercast.com. Okay? Я вас люблю. До свидания.